The headlines: Iran urges Western regimes to stop hosting and backing terrorists instead of lecturing it on how to handle riots. German lawmakers call for security review in the wake of an alleged far-right plot violently overthrowing the government. And political unrest continues in Peru as police clash with supporters of ousted President Pedro Castillo. Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Iran has slammed a Western country's interventionist remarks on the recent riots in the country, accusing them of harboring terrorists. In a string of tweets, the foreign ministry underlined that public security remains a red line for the Islamic Republic, stressing that armed assault and vandalism are not tolerable. It said the country has shown utmost restraint in countering the rioters and employed proportionate and standard anti-riot methods. The ministry slammed the West for hypocritically lecturing the Islamic Republic and said, instead of spreading lies through politicized statements, the West must stop hosting, backing, and encouraging terrorists. Riots began following the death of a young woman in hospital days after she collapsed at a police station. Since then, some Western countries have been waging psychological warfare and fueling unrest in Iran. Illegal weapons entering Iran have surged during the past few months. Foreign sponsors of the recent riots have been planning to arm rioters to destabilize the country while stoking insecurity. But Iranian security forces have successfully foiled several of the armed smuggling operations, sending a strong message to the enemies of Iran that peace and stability are the country's red lines.
Ever since the riots began in September, anti-Iran media has been depicting the situation as a violent crackdown on so-called peaceful protesters. For the past 2 months, they have been running a propaganda campaign to further pressure Iran under the pretext of violating human rights. Iran's intelligence ministry has recently reported the confiscation of a huge cache of weapons and equipment used by terrorists. In fact, Iranian security forces have thwarted several arms smuggling operations and dismantled a number of operational cells affiliated with the terrorist organizations such as MKO. This comes as the illegal influx of weapons into the country is on the rise recently. The confiscated weapons were supposed to be transferred to Iran to be used in the recent riots. Last month, in an interview with the Persian service of the British state-funded broadcaster BBC, former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton said the, quote, Iranian opposition is now being armed with weapons. Bolton added that these arms are being smuggled into the country from the Iraq's Kurdistan region, praising the use of force against Iran's security forces. The recent foreign-backed riots in Iran have claimed hundreds of lives belonging to both security forces and ordinary people. In addition, by conducting acts of vandalism, violence, and insecurity, rioters have paved the way for separatist and terrorist groups to infiltrate the country and carry out brutal attacks against innocent people.
Smuggling huge amounts of weapons into Iran to be used in the recent foreign-backed unrest is merely aimed at undermining the country's security. But Iranian officials have time and again stated that Iran's security is a red line that no one is allowed to cross. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
Press TV of plans to suspend its services to the Iranian broadcaster. The European satellite operator says the potential move is in line with the EU sanctions targeting Iranian individuals and entities, including Press TV, over Iran's response to the recent riots.
Eutelsat is a French satellite operator providing coverage over the entire European continent, the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and the Americas. It's the world's third largest satellite operator in terms of revenues. The decision came weeks after the European Union imposed sanctions on Iran's English language news network. The move was part of recent sanctions by the European Union, which were imposed on Iran after the recent riots there. The bloc has sanctioned 29 individuals and three organizations, including Press TV. It has accused the Iranian news channel of airing, quote, forced confessions of detainees. Press TV has rejected those claims.
I've been working here at Press TV for almost a decade now, and I can tell you that Press TV has not aired any confessions whatsoever, forced or unforced. So that shows you how such decisions by the EU and the like are based on unfounded claims with no basis in reality. And these sanctions on Press TV I see as part of the media war and their narrative control. They want to present the war with their distorted version of what's going on in Iran these days, and seemingly they don't feel much comfortable with Press TV challenging their narrative. So they would try everything to silence us or make us less heard, but we're not going to be silenced.
IRIB chief Peyman Jebelli has strongly condemned EU's move, saying that it's not the first time the West has acted against its own claims of being the defender of the freedom of expression. Sanctions imposed on Press TV by the EU and earlier by the government of Canada are aimed at muzzling free speech and alternative views. Press TV has made a great effort to counter fake narratives fostered by Western media concerning the recent riots in Iran.
This is not the first time that Western governments have tried to block Press TV. The channel's website, YouTube account, and other social media platforms have been targeted multiple times before. Press TV says the move as part of the West's attempts to silence the voice of Iranian people. It has also criticized the West's double standards on freedom of speech.
This is not the first time Press TV has been attacked by Western powers. In July 2013, Press TV was forced off the air in the UK after the media regulator Ofcom revoked its license for allegedly breaching the Communications Act. In April 2012, Munich-based media regulator BLM announced it was removing Press TV from the SES Astra satellite, as it purportedly did not have a license to broadcast in Europe. And in November 2012, the Hong Kong-based AsiaSat took Iranian channels off-air in East Asia. Furthermore, in October 2012, Intelsat stopped broadcasting several Iranian satellite channels, though the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting managed to resume broadcasts after striking deals with smaller companies that are based in other countries. Press TV has also repeatedly fallen victim to censorship on multiple internet-based social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and etc.
Well, this gesture by the West is not anything new in terms of Press TV and even some of its, sister channels. So it puts under the microscope the real intention behind this. So the way this appears to be is that it's part of a bigger picture of this maximum pressure campaign that's been exerted on Iran. I am sure there's some geopolitical interest involved in terms of trying to limit Iran's reach when it comes to the media. But in particular, obviously, another reason for this act by the West, which is really against the pillars that they actually advocate, which is freedom of speech.
Over the past years, Facebook, along with YouTube, Twitter, and Google, have repeatedly targeted media outlets of Iran. In 2013, the U.S. Treasury Department announced sanctions against the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, or the IRIB, to silence alternative voices. Press TV was dropped from the Galaxy 19 satellite platform that allowed it to broadcast in the United States and Canada without saying when it was dropped.
German lawmakers are asking for a review of security arrangements at the lower house of parliament known as Bundestag following an alleged coup attempt on Wednesday. Around 24 people belonging to a far-right group are now in detention in connection with the alleged coup. Among them is a former far-right MP. Now, German lawmakers say security arrangements should be reviewed to keep away what they call enemies of the Constitution. Bundestag Vice President says the chamber will carefully examine which security measures it needs to adapt. The German government has said the far-right group was preparing a violent overthrow of the state. It says some members also plan to storm the German parliament and seize lawmakers. And there are now more food banks in the UK than there are McDonald's. Soaring inflation and energy price hikes are forcing more Britons to rely on food banks to avoid starvation. And with the cold season already here, charities are warning things are going to take a turn for the worse for millions of Britons, Said Puraza reports.
Doors at food banks across the UK are seeing more people come through now than ever before, as food and energy costs rise. Beans, noodles, and fruit. Food packaged up for people in crisis, not in the developing world, but in Northwest London.
All this food is sorted, packaged, and distributed by the volunteers here to people who desperately need them. Without them, they go hungry.
Sarah, who asked her face not to be shown, told us she'd go days without food so her three children could eat.
I go days without eating as long as I get fed. I can go days without it. I can do it, but it's them I'm concerned. It's worrying for me for them to go without food. But I can go without food for a couple of days or so, just eat, drink milk, hot chocolate, yogurts and stuff, so they can have a full meal. Like, everything I have, it's all for them. So, you know, it is difficult.
This independent charity provides aid to 800 food bank users. And with the UK's economic downturn making the poor even poorer, they're warning more people will be knocking on their doors.
According to the government's new budget, benefits will be increasing in line with inflation, but that's not until April. So that means our guests will continue to struggle throughout the winter for the next few months, throughout the rain and snow and cold weather.
These bags only offer days of help, but that too could be under threat. Food banks are now at breaking point due to a tsunami of need driven by the cost of living crisis.
Regular donors are unable to donate what they used to. Funders have less money to give to support because of all of that was spent during the pandemic. So while our demand is still the same, the support that we need to provide it is running out.
Charities estimate more than 2 million people in Britain now depend on food aid. For now, help is around, with those in need hoping the country's economic outlook improves. The question is how long that will take. Sai Puraza, London.
Supporters of ousted Peruvian President Pedro Castillo have held a second day of protests demanding his release and the closure of Congress. The protesters clashed with police in the capital, Lima. Castillo's supporters gathered outside the penitentiary center where he is being detained. A court on Thursday ordered him to stay there for at least 7 days, as an inquiry into alleged crimes of rebellion and conspiracy goes on. A day earlier, lawmakers voted overwhelmingly to remove Castillo from office. That followed his failed attempt to rule by a decree and dissolve Congress to avoid a third impeachment vote. The MPs have been pushing to impeach Castillo over a multiple corruption scandals with which he denies he took office 17 months ago. Chinese President Xi Jinping and Saudi rulers have stressed the importance of stability in global oil markets. That was part of a joint statement issued after Xi held talks with King Salman and his son, Crown Prince Mohammed. The statement came on Friday, the third and final day of the Chinese president's official visit to the kingdom. The two sides underlined Riyadh's role in maintaining the stability of oil market. This comes as Saudi Arabia and the U.S. have been at odds over an October decision by OPEC Plus to cut down on oil supply. Saudi Arabia, which is a top oil exporter in the world, is a member of the group. Also happening in Riyadh, the Chinese president met with his Palestinian counterpart on Thursday, expressing support for the Palestinian cause.
No matter how the international and regional situation may change, China firmly supports the just cause of the Palestinian people and will always stand with them.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, for his part, expressed gratitude for China's support of the Palestinian people. He also lauded China's influence in the world. The Chinese president's visit to Saudi Arabia is the first in nearly 7 years. Later on Friday, he is due to attend two summits with Arab leaders. Now, we have with us Kendo Xu, a senior fellow at the Pangol Institute, who is joining us live from Beijing. Mr. Xu, if you could please tell us more about the different aspects, shed light on the significance of this particular visit. We have two countries that have a long history of having close relations with the United States, and they both seem to be at odds right now with the U.S., and they're growing closer to each other. Does this show a certain shift in international politics?
Well, this is obviously the angle of geopolitics, let's say. And yes, I think geopolitically, the international situation is changing, with Saudi Arabia an important oil supply to the international market, and China, you know, the factory of the world, with a strong manufacturing force. Both nations are basically having problems with the U.S., and the U.S. is focusing on containing the rise of China. So I think, you know, for Saudi Arabia and a lot of Arab nations, including countries in the region, for example, Iran, you know, China and Iran, signed a 25-year agreement of cooperation not long ago, remember. So I think, yes, you know, with the rise of China and also other nations with their problem with the U.S., and they are finding the United States is not the only game in town. They do have other partners. They do have alternatives. Remember, this is a lot to do with their desire of pursuing an independent foreign policy, a policy independent of interference from the West, remember. And also, I think it's about self-esteem, self-respect. The Arabs, they want to be seen, they don't want to be taken for granted. They want to be, treated with respect for their sovereignty, respect for their culture, for their values, instead of being lectured by Washington about human rights record or, you know, whatever issue happening inside your country. I think this is similar in terms of the sentiment with Iran, with China, with Russia, with many other countries. So that's good, actually. We are seeing, if there's an international order, we would say the order is shifting towards a fair international order, a more just international order with the rest of the rest in addition to the West.
Thank you very much. That was Kendo Xu, a senior fellow at the Pangol Institute from Beijing. Moving on, the United States has imposed sanctions on a prominent Turkish businessman for allegedly violating Washington's restrictive measures on Iran's oil sales. The Treasury Department has blacklisted Sitki Ayan, an associate of the Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. A number of companies run by Ayan and his family are also on the blacklist. That brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Current world order will be replaced by a new order where US is isolated, Asia powerful, resistance front expanded. This is the part of a speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution during a meeting with students on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. This meeting was held on the occasion of National Students' Day and National Day of Fighting Against Global Arrogance, which are commemorated on the 13th of Aban, 4th of November. The thing that is actually more important than all of the aforementioned advantages is the logic of our government and civilization, which is the Islamic Republic. We have combined a republic with something that is Islamic. We have combined the people's presence and their votes and opinions with the divine knowledge. Combining these two things is not an easy task, but we have been able to do it with God's grace. It is not flawless. I have never claimed that we don't have flaws in these areas. No, we do have flaws, but our words, our logic, it is a new type of logic in the world. So that was about those issues. My last word to you, my dear young people. You see that whatever you do, whatever we do, whatever we all do, our words and our actions, they all send signals to those outside the country. We need to be careful with the messages we are sending. These messages are not necessarily in words. Sometimes the way you even sit can send a message.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Sometimes your gatherings in a certain place can convey a message. Sometimes the things you chant can send a message. Be mindful of the message that you are sending out to the world. I believe that the most important thing that must be relayed to the enemy front by the Iranian nation and the Iranian youth is the Iranian nation's power and power of resistance. The Iranian nation, the youth of Iran, must use their actions, movements, slogans, and their work to let the world know, which of course the enemy will also understand, that the Iranian nation has the power to resist. It is determined to stand up to coercion. Indeed, this is the duty of the people. The officials have great responsibilities.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
What you said on paper.
We won't back down.
Stop the witch hunt.
Turn here now.
We will resist.
I can't breathe. Help me. Please.
We the people.
Now, with the Republicans taking over the House, U.S. President Joe Biden should anticipate punches thrown at his administration very soon. The House Judiciary Committee is expected to probe Biden's family, administration, the FBI, and the Department of Justice. Republicans on the committee had issued a more than 1,000-page report and stated that the FBI is rotten at its core. The committee had promised to investigate the president's son, Hunter Biden, if they were to win midterm elections. Now the Republicans have won over the House, and Nancy Pelosi has stepped down as House Speaker. Joe Biden is bracing himself for controversial investigations aimed at his family and administration.
Rotten at its core.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We the People. I'm your host, Daniel Aria. In this episode, we'll discuss the aftermath of the midterm elections and the Republicans winning over the House, what the new House Judiciary Committee will do in light of a thousands-page report on investigating wrongdoings committed by the president's son, Hunter Biden, the FBI, and Department of Justice. We'll also explore the committee's accusations on Facebook and other big tech on conspiring with the FBI and curbing free speech. As usual, we're pleased to have our two guests on our show, Vladimir Goldstein, associate professor at Brown University, and Daniel Lazar, an author and journalist, joining us out of New York. Stay tuned.
Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, who is expected to become the House Judiciary Committee's chairman, sent a letter to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland and another to FBI Director Christopher Wray asking for documents related to soon-to-be-conducted investigations. Some Republicans hoped that subpoenas and investigations would lead to the impeachment of the Attorney General, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, and even U.S. President Joe Biden. Representative Kevin McCarthy, who is likely to become House Speaker, has said, however, that impeachment should not be used as a political weapon, but also reiterated that this does not mean if something rises to the occasion, it would not be used at any other time.
Today we're going to provide you with something that you all aren't used to.
with respect to congressional investigations. And that's evidence. Committee Republicans have spoken with multiple whistleblowers from numerous schemes involving the Biden family, reviewed Hunter Biden's laptop, and received documents of previously unknown transactions. What we found are business plans aimed at targets around the world based on influence peddling, including with people closely tied to foreign governments like China and Russia. We also found plans based in the United States where the Biden family swindled investors of hundreds of thousands of dollars, all with Joe Biden's participation and knowledge.
And now, before winning the elections, the House Judiciary Committee Republicans released a 1,000-page report serving as a roadmap for investigations into the FBI and Justice Department. Now, that report contains whistleblower accusations that the FBI has been politically influenced under the Biden administration. The whistleblowers in this report describe the FBI, directed by Christopher Wray, as being rotted at its core, maintaining a systemic culture of unaccountability and full of rampant corruption, manipulation, and abuse. So what do you make of this 1,050-page report, sir?
Well, I think this report, I mean, of course, it's a partisan report, so it reflects the interests of Republican Party. And I think it's more than it's more or less articulates the agenda, what they interested to do. We cannot view this report as some kind of a final conclusion, because there's like, you know, they give the directions into which they want to go, what they want to explore. They realize that, you know, FBI is being politicized. They realize that it's being used to target conservative people. They realize that FBI is frequently meddles into social media to censor particular kinds of speech, conservatives in particular. They realize that FBI interferes and tries to squash the story and silence the story about Hunter Biden. So these are the directions which they want to investigation to go on. For the time being, what I saw from the report is just some kind of allegations. It's not, they don't provide a result of an investigation. They don't provide the result of, conclusions. This is a direction which they want to investigate. And I think now, with the Congress in Republican, sort of under Republican majority, they can pursue this investigation.
And now that the Republicans have taken over the House, Republican Representative Jim Jordan from Ohio is likely to become chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Now, this committee oversees issues related to the legal system, which includes overseeing the Departments of Homeland Security and Justice. The congressman has accused the FBI and the Department of Justice leadership of operating under political bias. So what are some of the probable future investigations we may see in Congress?
Okay, well, what's happening is that the Republicans have just taken control of the representatives. They have a very slim majority, and they are going to hold hearings to Don Hunter and his business activities. They are going to probe the FBI and CIA as to whether they try to suppress evidence relating to Hunter Biden's business activities. They're also going to conduct an audit of U.S. arms appropriations for the Ukraine. So essentially, things are really getting very hot on Capitol Hill, and it looks like we'll see even more gridlock, more political warfare in Congress.
The House Oversight and Reform Committee is the main investigative panel in Congress and has the authority to investigate the federal government and its agencies. This committee is expected to be chaired by James Comer, who is the Republican representative from Kentucky. Comer has recently accused Hunter Biden, the president's son, of influence peddling and said that he is a national security threat. He, among other Republicans, also accused Biden and his family of crimes including tax evasion and money laundering.
I think what what happened with Hunter Biden is not probably that important. He is obviously was involved in this probably double accusations against him. None of them is particularly new. None of them is particularly kind of serious. Is that is he was sitting on some kind of board of a Ukrainian gas company and probably been paid money for the political influence. Which his father can exercise, so he was making extra money for not doing much and for selling political influence. It's not sort of pleasant, but it's not particularly big crime. And another one, he from what we do know, he's like some kind of a drug addict that was involved in some kind of disorderly behavior and hiring some kind of female consorts. Again, it's happened, it's not a big deal. But the much bigger deal was that how much the current president of the United States was involved in covering up. And, that's not right.
The Republicans of the House Judiciary Committee made claims early November that the FBI receives private user information from Facebook, but without the user's consent or the legal process, the FBI would otherwise need to independently pursue such user-related information. FBI Director Christopher Wray responded recently that he cannot be sure whether Facebook is sending the FBI such information without requests.
Director Wray, is Facebook or any other social media company supplying private messages or data on American users that is not compelled by the government or the FBI?
Not compelled. In other words, not in response to legal process.
No warrant, no subpoena. They're just supplying you information on their users.
I don't believe so, but I can't sit here and be sure of that as I sit here.
Now, in October 2020, the New York Post ran a story about emails from Hunter Biden's laptop that was related to his business dealings in Ukraine. Now, both Facebook and Twitter blocked user access to the story. Yul Roth, who was behind blocking users from viewing the story, was head of the Twitter Trust and Safety Division and recently resigned in protest to the new Twitter owner Elon Musk's Twitter subscription service implementation.
When the Post reported the controversy regarding Hunter Biden and calling its report the laptop from hell, almost all mainstream media publications refused to cover the story and called it a Russian disinformation campaign. The Post revealed 2 years ago that there are documents that could potentially tie Joe, Hunter, and other members of the Biden family to criminal activity. The report described how Hunter used his father's influence when he was vice president to help secure jobs and contracts with foreign state-backed companies.
Well, Hunter Biden could conceivably face criminal charges. He could be, he'll certainly will be embarrassed if he's forced to testify. He will be grilled at great length about his business activities, his personal life. I mean, bear in mind, Hunter Biden is a guy with a serious addiction problems to alcohol and cocaine. He has apparently spent large sums of money on prostitutes. So that will all come out. And, of course, his business activities where it appears that he tried to use his father's position to do business deals.
Meanwhile, in light of the investigations and reports of wrongdoings committed by the Biden family, administration, and the FBI and Department of Justice, Democrats call these investigations and probes politically motivated and aimed at discrediting and damaging Joe Biden before the 2024 presidential elections. The Democrats see this as nothing more than revenge by Republicans against their party and to try to impeach the president or the Homeland Security Secretary.
Well, of course, one hopes they would find abuse because, we sense it, we understand it, the story of Hunter Biden laptop is absolutely clear that there was something there, and yet we hear a lot of people saying that FBI asked social platforms, media or something to silence this story rather than letting people investigate it. What they will find, we don't know. That's why people have to do investigation. But I suspect that they will find the clear cases of meddling, when, as a result of which, stories which benefit Democratic Party are highlighted, stories which, you know, kind of support a Democratic Party policies are highlighted, the stories which question it, be it the story of, you know, Ukraine and their and what's going on in Ukraine with the sort of, you know, the celebration of Nazi collaborators, certain policies which Ukraine does.
And it's not just the case of Hunter Biden or actions of the FBI, Homeland Security, and the DOJ that Republicans plan to investigate. Probes are supposed to also include immigration, the border wall, and the Remain in Mexico Act, the administration's handling of the military withdrawal from Afghanistan, and also the FBI search on Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in Florida.
Well, the investigations on Hunter Biden will be whether Hunter Biden tried to use his father's position to make money, whether Joe Biden was aware of that, and whether Joe Biden hoped to make money as well. So it involves allegations of political corruption.
The probes won't stop there. Dr. Anthony Fauci is another subject of investigations, along with the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. The House Education and Labor Committee also intend to probe how the Biden administration has treated parents and school boards. Republicans also stated that they will likely create a select committee on issues related to China, which is a priority for potential House Speaker McCarthy.
Now, while campaigning for the GOP Senate candidate in Ohio before the midterm elections, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said if Jordan becomes chair of the House Judiciary Committee, there are going to be people jumping off bridges in San Francisco by the thousands. Now, joking on how investigations promised by Jim Jordan will be disturbing for many politicians.
You have to bear in mind there has been intense warfare on Capitol Hill since the 1990s, but it got much hotter during the Trump administration, where essentially Trump was subject to an extensive investigation by the FBI, CIA, and then by the special prosecutor, which essentially brought his administration to a halt. It crippled the Trump White House. So now what we're seeing is the Republicans want to do the same to the Biden administration. They want to cripple the Biden administration. They want to bring the administration to a halt. And they want to take vengeance for the punishment that Donald Trump received. It's going to be very hot, very angry. The American system is exploding, and the political combat on Capitol Hill will certainly intensify.
Donald Trump was impeached twice during his one term in office. His first impeachment was based on allegations that he had abused his power and withheld military aid from Ukraine unless Ukrainian President Zelensky would announce an investigation into Joe Biden. The House was majority Democrat at the time, and the vote was completely partisan. Now that the Republicans have taken over the House, it seems they are taking revenge. And interestingly, some of the accusations against Biden also goes back to Ukraine.
For some reason, connected with Trump, it became clear. We've heard some cases which were investigated, some FBI person, and then people from the Biden government, they were in cahoots and they were investigating things on Trump, and they were saying, this is our security policy. That's how we want to make sure that Trump wouldn't get anywhere because we have some dirt on him. So that type of investigations they were doing. And I think, you know, it's about time that, you know, we all know that FBI is not just, you know, hands-off, honest investigation, but they frequently carry out the job of the political party. And for some reason, we hear reports again and again and again, including in this so-called 1,050 pages report, is that they are biased.
The impeachments of Donald Trump were both turned down after going to the Senate. The Republicans had Senate majority when Trump was impeached and voted for his acquittal. The Republicans have a slim majority now in the House, but were not able to get majority in the Senate. So although the probes and possible impeachments will probably hurt Joe Biden politically, it is very unlikely to be approved in the Senate.
It's going to be investigating whether the FBI tried to suppress this story, whether it acted improperly in doing so, whether the FBI has been politicized. So it was clearly siding with the Democrats against the Republicans, and that's a very serious offense when a top police agency is politicized and is trying to aid one political party against the other.
Now it seems the most important change that has occurred with the Republicans taking over the House is that weapons which were once aimed at Trump and his administration will now be turned and aimed towards Biden and his administration. Now, the Republican motivation for probes is not justice, but revenge. And just like Democrats who investigated and tried to impeach Donald Trump when he was president, Republicans are now investigating and they're going to try to impeach Joe Biden. So what is almost always ignored by the American political parties is the fate and interest of the American people. And now let's check out what Abbas Montakim has prepared for us this week.
America itself is rotten at its core. It's a settler colony of European colonizers who enslaved Africans and indigenous people and committed genocide against both groups. The foundation of America is bloodshed, and the U.S. has done everything and anything to keep its power. Whether it's using intelligence agencies to stop revolutionary movements domestically, or its imperialist military to wage wars on other nations of the world and to loot them for their natural resources and their labor. On this segment of Power to the People, we will take a look at how the Federal Bureau of Investigation, also known as the FBI, and how it used clandestine operations to stop revolutionary movements that seek to end the vicious nature of American settler colonialism and imperialism. We will also take a look at the reign of terror that its first director, J. Edgar Hoover, waged against the black community. But first, let's start with a bit of the history of the creation of the FBI. The origins of it started in 1908, and it was created by President Roosevelt. At first, the FBI started under the Attorney General of the time, which was Attorney General Bonaparte. He hired investigators to report to the DOJ, and specifically, these investigators reported to Chief Examiner Stanley W. Finch. 1 year later, it was renamed the Bureau of Investigation, and in 1935, it was officially known as the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and J. Edgar Hoover was the first director. Under J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI spied on and destroyed black revolutionary movements and other leftist movements, and J. Edgar's terrorism expands across decades. For example, the FBI is set up and led efforts to destroy Marcus Garvey as well as his organization, the UNIA. The FBI, they worked with the IRS and ultimately deported Marcus Garvey to Jamaica, and Marcus Garvey, he was never able to come back to America to organize. The FBI, they also orchestrated the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. with the assistance of other three-letter intelligence agencies, as well as the U.S. military. And ultimately, the government was found guilty for MLK's assassination in a civil court. The FBI, they also orchestrated the assassination of Shahid El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. The FBI also assassinated Black Panthers and Black Liberation Army members. And we could go on and on and on, but these are just a few examples of the FBI's crimes against humanity in different epochs of the Black Liberation Movement. And all of this, all of it was happening under J. Edgar Hoover's reign. And much of this, it came under the FBI's notorious and illegal counterintelligence program, also known as COINTELPRO. COINTELPRO used disinformation campaigns, assassinations, false allegations, political imprisonment, and a whole bunch of other tactics, all to destroy the Black Power movement, as well as a wide range of communist and other leftist movements. And though COINTELPRO, quote-unquote, ended, the surveillance apparatus of the FBI has only continued to get stronger. During the Black Lives Matter movement, the FBI, they used a term called Black Identity Extremists to describe Black organizers fighting against white supremacy. And the FBI, they admitted to using COINTELPRO-like tactics under the guise of counterterrorism. It's very clear that the FBI is a weapon that is being used against colonized people in America to prevent revolutionary change from happening. The foundation of America itself is rotten. It's rotten at its core. So it makes sense that its government institutions like the FBI are too. This is Power to the People.
Well, that was our show, everyone. I'm your host, Daniel Arya. Do join us again next time for another episode of We the People. Bye-bye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. A very warm welcome to The Last Savior. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Zainab Askari. And today in our studio, we have with us very special guest, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to me.
living in a world where everyone wants to enjoy human rights and everyone wants to enjoy justice, there's no hope because injustice is seen everywhere. But there's a hope given in Islamic sources by the Islamic government. Yes, we're discussing about that with Dr. Ali Alavi.
Yes, we're talking about a Mahdi utopia, that is an ideal and inshallah real city, or let's say nation or government, that will happen by the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And as we said, that some believe that it is an imaginary concept, but it will definitely happen. And we actually pinpointed some of the evidences that some issues were difficult for us to believe, but later on, due to the passage of time, we understood that, okay, they can happen even. Sometime, in case we were covering some of the narrations, it was very difficult for us to know that before the advent of Imam, people could contact each other by some, let's say, vehicles or some equipments. So now it is quite understandable that it is possible by mobile phones, or let's say, by different means of communication, people can even see and talk to each other.
Yeah.
So I want to say that what we are talking about, inshallah, will definitely happen, and this is the wish and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
that yes,
He will inherit the world. So we said that one of the characteristics of this Mahdi utopia was the ruler himself, an infallible ruler, and he had some specific characteristics. He's selfless, without any arrogance, without any anger, without any...
Not working for self, free from
any defect. And he's a person that, inshallah, will make the whole ummah, the whole world, united and unified. And he's not going to rule over a certain group of people and nations, but he's going to be the leader of the whole world.
Well, Dr. Alavi, talking so much about the Islamic government, talking so much about the characteristics of the ruler himself, can we say, like, since we mostly focused on that he would be providing justice, there would be no discrimination in his government when there would be both Muslims or non-Muslims, and if we see Muslims committing a crime or a sin and non-Muslims towards non-Muslims, and do you think Imam Mahdi would punish Muslims for their sin or crime that they committed towards the non-Muslim, or not, because they are Muslims?
There is a wrong misconception on the arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Some believe that, okay, Imam comes and is starting just to kill people or to bring justice. Look, justice by itself is not going to happen by kill or massacre. Justice comes with the culture. Actually, justice comes with the blessings of the person who is going to establish it. Or justice comes actually to be fair, even among those, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslims. We have seen this in the behavior of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was going to judge between, let's say, a Muslim and non-Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
He kept justice. He didn't, go to, let's say, support a person who was Muslim just because he was Muslim. No.
Exactly. So since this, he is his son, and we won't be seeing the contrary.
The Imams of Ahlul Bayt, all of them are Nurun Wahid. They are all the same light.
Yeah.
So in case whatever the Holy Prophet did, the Imam Ali alayhi salam actually did in one way or other.
Yeah.
So they are all doing one thing. I mean, they are not going to, in case we want to judge Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, we can judge him based on what Imam Ali alayhi salam did.
Wow.
See?
So we already have
Yes, we cannot see any contradiction in the actions and behaviors of Ahlul Bayt, in the conduct of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
So we have the evidences of the conduct.
They are all based on Quranic teachings and true Muhammad and Islam.
Yes. We'll discuss more on that after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds.